Scripture readings today are Psalms 71 verses 1 through 6 and Luke 13, 10 through 17. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust. O Lord, from my youth, upon you I have learned from the birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had been crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hand on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured her on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which to work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all of his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. Bless these words to our hearts and our minds.
Let us pray. For many mysteries, Lord, we thank you. How do the hummingbirds flap their wings so quickly that they can hover and then dart away like mini jets? How do caterpillars become butterflies? How do the raindrops decide where they will fall? Lord, the world is full of so many mysteries and you created all of them, including me and every person in this room. We're filled with gratitude for this world that you have gifted to us and to this community that we worship in, and all that continues to challenge our minds. We say thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, in the psalm that Dawn read, the psalmist laments that there are challenges in this world. Says, "Wow, there are those who are wicked and mistreat others. There are those who are unjust and cruel. Why are they here? Why do they mistreat others? Where can I take refuge?" Well, the answer is you can take refuge in the Lord. For God divinely created the chemistry puzzle that each one of us is. He gave each of us unique gifts. Sometimes we don't even recognize our unique gifts because they're for those who are around us. And how much more exciting are our lives with the variety in this room? And yet, sometimes we pass laws that constrict the living spaces and options of many people. We start wars without exhausting the ways of peace and reconciliation and negotiation. We leave people in squalid refugee camps and homeless camps because we find it too difficult to address their situation. And yet we share our gratitude that we don't live in those places. Maybe let's ask for that wisdom to repair these broken lives. We ignore God. We don't ask God to partner with us to repair our world. We thank God for keeping us out of the bad places. Come on, let's enter into the mystery. Let's partner with God. Mystery. I feel a little bit like a carnival salesman. Enter into the mystery. The mystery is all around you. But it is. We don't understand all that has been placed around us by God. In the gospel reading from Luke, we find Jesus in the temple on the Sabbath. And in the Jewish tradition, work is forbidden on Shabbat, which is the Jewish name for the Sabbath. It starts a few minutes after sundown, or a few minutes before sundown on Friday night, and continues until there are 3 stars visible in the sky on Saturday evening. And while Jesus is in the temple, a woman who is bent over and ill comes to him, and he heals her. And the temple authorities are furious. That would be like me saying, "Fred, what are you doing? We're in church. Loretta, stop reading that book. Pay attention. I'm furious with you. You're not doing what you should be doing while you're here in community." The temple authorities were like, "Jesus, dude, what are you doing? This is not the day. This is not a day we work. Why are you healing people? Why are you working on Shabbat?" I have so many questions about their reaction. Why was the woman in the temple? Maybe she came to pray. Maybe she was hoping for a mysterious manifestation of healing while she prayed. Maybe she heard Jesus was going to be there. I don't know. And why did Jesus choose to heal her? He knew it was the Sabbath. He knew that he was doing it right in front of those temple authorities and they were going to get angry. Why didn't he just say, "Psst, psst, come back tomorrow"? She'd been ill for a long time. He could have just said, "Psst, come back tomorrow. I'll heal you tomorrow." The authorities were already afraid of his ability to draw a crowd and control a crowd, and this wasn't going to make that any better. So why did Jesus pour gasoline on that fire? Well, maybe that's not as big a mystery as it seems. Did you ever do something after someone told you there was a rule against it? Well, I can say that I have. Because if I didn't say that I have, I'd get hit by lightning. Because for too often in my life, rules were kind of a mystery to me. I kind of thought they were like suggestions. You know, my mother would say, "Leave your brother alone." Okay. But I didn't do anything. I had nothing. Many times in my work career, I would be told, "We can't do that. There are rules that say we can't do that." And I, even though we all knew it was the right answer, and so I would do it anyway in a small fashion to demonstrate that it worked. And then we would change the rules, and we would do what we needed to do. Those rules, those human constructs, can be done. They can be changed. And I have to confess, sometimes when I shouldn't have one more scoop of ice cream, I do it anyway. So why did the temple leaders ignore this woman who needed to be healed for so many years and then get all bent out of shape because this happened? Because it was the Sabbath. Well, I mean, I'm thinking like, gosh, why wouldn't you just be excited that it happened? Just remember, the Jewish tradition has 613 commandments they live their lives by. It is a very regimented process that they follow every day. And the temple leader knew this. And they used those rules to control the community and to make sure that the community behaved and to make sure that the boundaries stayed in place and to make sure that there was some civilness in their society. They didn't do this because they were mean. They didn't do this because they were, you know, authoritarian nutcases. They did it because they didn't want the Romans doing it for them. The Romans would have been brutal about it. And so as long as they could control their community, the Romans would leave them alone. And I also wonder why the woman didn't hesitate. She'd never met God, and yet she praised God for her healing immediately. Her answer was to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God," and to raise praise to the highest levels. Why wasn't she just kind of quiet about it? Because she was excited about it. That one's not a mystery. She was excited about being healed. She wanted everybody to see that demonstration of God's love and God's power. So why is this the person that Jesus was called to heal? I don't know. You see, there's lots of mysteries that even pastors don't have answers for. And when you start to read biblical stories, you can ask so many questions. And maybe we just need to focus on the story. Maybe God knew her heart. Maybe God knew she would be grateful. Maybe God knew she would raise praise to God. Maybe he knew that this person would praise the mystery and be comfortable with the things she didn't know, but that she would affirm the existence of that higher power. She was a living, breathing, standing right here straight in front of me, proof that God loves us. So how do we describe this undescribable God, this omnipotent, omnipresent, omni-everything? How do we describe that? How do we describe God's powers? How do we describe God's mystery? How do we describe God's love for us? How do we describe God's continuing presence with us? How do we describe what we cannot see? Is God in that small hummingbird? Is God gently holding that cocoon until that butterfly can escape? Is God in the flowing waters and the falling rain? In Hebrews 12, verses 25 through 29, we hear this. So don't turn a deaf ear to these gracious words. If those who ignored earthly warnings didn't get away with it, what will happen to us if we turn our backs on the heavenly warnings? God's voice that time shook the earth to its foundations. This time, God told us quite plainly, God will also rock the heavens. One last shaking from top to bottom, stem to stern. The phrase "one last shaking" from top to bottom, stem to stern, means a thorough house cleaning, getting rid of all the historical and religious junk so that the unshakable essentials stand clear and uncluttered. Do you see what we've got? We've got an unshakable kingdom. Do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God. For God is not an indifferent bystander. God is actively cleaning house, torching all that needs to go. And God won't quit cleaning until all is cleansed. For God Himself is in that fire. You see, even if we can't see God, we can't touch God, we can't meet God for lunch, we can't borrow God's clothes, we can't get God to bring us rain, we can't borrow a cup of sugar from God, we can still see all the mysteries of God around us. We can see all the wonderfully created people around us. We can understand a little bit of all the complex systems around us. We can understand a little bit of all the relationships around us. We can see and study so many things: birds and weather, insects, stars, light, darkness, animals, people, relationships. But we need, my friends, to know enough, to be wise enough to embrace the mystery that is God with our faith and demonstrate that faith with our open hearts and our open minds and our open ears and our willing hands. Amen.